You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
I received a piece of work from the Schroders head of thought leadership. His name is Gavin Ralston. He's in Johannesburg at the moment, but normally based in London. And the title of the paper was The Rise of US Superstar Firms and Their Impact on Investors. South Africa, it says here in the first paragraph, is floundering in its longest downward business cycle since the end of World War II. So you would be forgiven for going for growth in greener offshore equity markets, which have been delivering, and then some. I won't read you the rest of it, but you can see the scene that has been set. Gavin, thank you very much for joining me. These superstar firms, it's almost like the Naspers process story on the JSE. There are certain superstar firms, as you put it, that are driving the US stock markets higher. Is that a dangerous situation?
Well, we think it has some dangers because unlike past cycles, all the superstar firms today are in one industry, and that's technology. So if you measure it by the five largest publicly traded stocks in the US, they're all Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Facebook, and Alphabet. And that hasn't happened before. Even at the peak of the oil price, the index was not as dominated by oil companies as it is today by technology companies. So we think the concentration of stock market performance in a small number of names is something that's potentially dangerous.
But on the other hand, some people would say, well, it's just simply a function of the way that the world has developed. I mean, we go back to the early 1800s when the Industrial Revolution started in the United Kingdom. Certain firms would have dominated nascent stock markets then, or just the economy then. And the same thing is happening now. So other people would say that maybe your paper is not naive, but certainly not embracing natural economic progression.
Well, at any one time, certainly in the recent past, and actually it's true also if you go back to the 19th century, there's tended to be a domination by an industry or a few industries that are seen to have much better growth prospects than the economy as a whole. The lessons of history are that those periods of domination tend not to last. Either one thing happens, which is the entry of competition, or if that's not practical, then regulators step in. And I mean, a great example would be the U.S. railroad industry in the 19th century, which was seen as being absolutely dominant in the new wave of technological innovation. And that crumbled in the face of regulation. So we think it is positive in the sense that the real driver of the performance of these companies has been technological innovation. It's also been to some extent through mergers and acquisitions. So think of Facebook acquiring WhatsApp and Instagram. But the other factor, which, and this is where we think the dangers for the future lie, is that antitrust enforcement has been lax. And in the past, antitrust enforcement has always been there in the US to ensure that competition can reassert itself.
Yes, you say that, and in one of the points that you make, you want to talk about the impact of an impending regulatory backlash. And there's already been that, particularly in Europe. Is it going to continue, do you think?
Well, certainly. I mean, Europe we would see as very different from the US in that the competition authorities have been much more prepared to tackle the large technology companies, fining Google, for example. We also think that although Elizabeth Warren, as the potential Democrat presidential candidate, has been very strident on this issue, there's actually a broader political backlash going on. And if you look at the surveys done of public opinion in the US, the high opinion which the average US citizen held technology companies a few years ago has given way to much greater skepticism. And that's the recipe for government or regulators to step in at some point, irrespective of who the next president is.
Do you think that the bonanza is going to give way to potential risk? I mean, that's the point of your article. You are alerting us to potential risk in the future, and therefore I perceive that you're saying that we should exercise caution. But the last point that you make is why passive investors may be most at risk. What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that the technology companies are a very large proportion of the total U.S. index. And if you're in a passive portfolio, you can't offset that. You just have to take the ups and downs as the market delivers them. We think an active manager is in a much better position to identify those risks and we haven't really talked about valuation of those technology companies, but to identify yes. those risks and prepare portfolios to be much more resilient if some of the bad news that we're talking about does emerge.
The valuation story is a very interesting one, because are the valuations being driven by excessive exuberance or simply the fear of missing out?
Well, I think there's an element of both. There's certainly exuberance if you measure it by the earnings growth which current valuations are building in. There's a lot of extrapolation of recent earnings growth, which we think is unlikely as these companies just become bigger and it's harder for big companies to sustain very high rates of growth. So there's an element of that. And there's an element also that, momentum is a very powerful force in stock markets, and that's driving those stock prices as well.
Yes. The situation is very simple, that one small wobble, which we saw actually, Gavin, I think it was in February of this year, was it, when Facebook had a bit of a problem and the stock market creaked a little bit, but then bounced back quite nicely. But there is a good deal of vulnerability because of these superstar stocks.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the Facebook incident you mentioned, I think it was February 2018 rather than February.
Has it been that long? Oh, goodness.
It did show that, okay. Yes. It does show the vulnerability that if bad news does creep in, and I mean, we think a potential source of bad news is action by regulators. There's been talk of breaking up these companies or imposing more tighter controls on them. But I mean, I think, we're seeing broader economic effects from the dominance of the superstars. So for example, the fact that labor has received a shrinking slice of the economic pie as opposed to capital, that's partly down to the impact of the technology companies. The fact that these very large companies with a large proportion of the stock market index actually don't employ that many people. Again, if you go back in past cycles, the top five companies were very big employers. That's not the case. If you think of a company like Facebook with a relatively small number of employees.
How do you approach this when it comes to Schroeder's investment philosophy and asset allocation? You've obviously spoken cautiously about the subject, but does that translate itself into your portfolios?
Yes, I mean, we're very focused on the fundamentals of the individual companies. We have some value portfolios which are almost zero-weighted in these technology companies. We have others which are run more closely against the index, where we're underweight in some of the individual companies. So we are quite cautious about the potential for the technology companies to extend their gains.
Gavin, thank you so much for your insight. That's Gavin Ralston, Schroeder's Head of Thought Leadership, based in London. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.